So Andrew's going to come and read from Luke chapter 16 for us. You can find it in your Bibles, but it's also printed on your service sheets.
Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 3,000 liters of olive oil,' he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 1,500. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 30 tons of wheat,' he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 24. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light."
Thank you, Andrew. That's brilliant. So that's an interesting parable that Jesus told, isn't it? Let's think about this little story again. Okay, so there was this rich man. His name was Avi Glazer, whose manager, Louis van Gaal, was accused of wasting all the money that he had spent on new players. So Avi Glazer called Louis van Gaal into Old Trafford and asked him, "What is this I read about you in the Sun? Give an account of your management, because I've talked to my brothers. We hear that this is Portuguese guy who's out of a job at the moment. So you cannot be manager here much longer." Well, the manager said to himself, he said, "What shall I do now?" That's the next slide, John. "My master's taking away my job. I'm not young enough to be a player, and I'm too ashamed to go on the motivational speaker circuits, and they probably wouldn't want me anyway. So I know what I do. When I lose my job here, I need to do something so that people will still welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's players, and he asked Rooney, there he is, "How much have you got left in your contract?" Well, Wayne says, 3 years at £300,000 a week. Louis says, "Oh, how do you survive on that?" The manager told him, "Look, take your contract, sit down quickly, I'll make it 5 years at £350,000 a week. How about that?" Wayne says, "Yeah, I'll sign there. Thank you very much." And Louis says, "Just remember to tell everyone what a great manager I've been at Manchester United." Then Louis goes and speaks to another player. There he is, David De Gea. "Your contract comes to an end at this year. Now, wouldn't you like to go home to Madrid? Taste that Spanish cooking again? Coquetas de mamá, café con leche in las terrazas. Who would you really like to play for?" Well, David said, "Well, I played for Atletico, but this lot seemed to be doing quite well. at the moment, so I think I'll go and play for them, thanks very much." So Louis says, "Right, okay, here's the contract. Real Madrid need a new goalie, and that Navas guy, he's okay, but but they need a new goalie. I've done a deal. I'm selling you to Real Madrid for 50,000, just nominal sum. And you're getting 75,000 a week here, so not as much as Rooney. But Real are going to pay you 100,000 a week. So how about that? Sign on the dotted line, firma aquí." And David says, "Yep, I'll sign," he says. And Louis just says, "Remember me, tu amigo, when you're back there in Spain." Well, when the rich man found out what the dishonest manager had done, He couldn't but admire the cheek of the man, for he, like his manager, understood the ways of the world. So Jesus says, the rich man commended the dishonest manager. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus approved what that dishonest manager did. It just means that it was good that the manager had this clear understanding about his future. He knew that his time with his present employer was very, very limited, so he would use that time left to make life easier for himself when he was without a job. And Jesus is making this point, really, that our lives are limited. They're short. We don't have much time, but we do have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. So what Jesus is saying is we should use whatever time we have left here to prepare ourselves for eternity. That's all. The dishonest manager in the story has a clear understanding of the future, and we're to understand that life matters really only because of its significance for eternity. We think we can do so many things in our lifetime. We think we'll only be happy if we do X, Y, Z, and A, B, and C as well. But actually, our lives are so short, they go very quickly. Our lives can be wonderful and bright, but they're nothing compared to eternity. So we need to use our lives to prepare for eternity.
I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Thank you, Andrew. So, the question that Jesus raises here by telling this parable is, are we investing in now, or are we investing in eternity? This is going to get very complicated, okay? Right. Now or eternity? What's big in our lives, now or eternity? What's the most important in our lives, now or eternity? In verse 9, the question is, will we use our money in order to have more money in the here or now? That way, right? Or will we use it in order to make friends for ourselves, as the dishonest manager did? Now, that doesn't mean that we should be like the prodigal son, which is actually the story that came before this one, but we're going to come back to that later in the term. So we're going to come back to that. So if you remember, he went off. He left his father's farm. He took half the inheritance with him, and he went and wasted it on parties and all that kind of stuff. And then he had lots of friends for a while, and they all fell away and walked away from him when he ran out of money. Now, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's basically saying, he's not saying that we should waste our money in that way. What he's saying is that we should care less about now and more about eternity. What he's saying is that if we invest in eternity now by using our worldly wealth to look after others, in return, Jesus will give us an eternal home. So we use our worldly wealth now to look after others, and in return, Jesus gives us an eternal home. And there's plenty of people in this world, aren't there, who we can look after with our money and our resources. There are so many people at this moment in time who are struggling, refugees, people involved in war, all kinds of things. Even in this country, there's people struggling because they don't have enough money. Now, in verse 10, Jesus says, look, whatever you own or possess in this life is actually only a very, very, very small amount of money. No matter how rich you think you are, it's actually very little wealth. Jesus is saying, in this world, all we have is a very little wealth. And he's saying, you need to invest this little wealth that you have. It's only a tiny, tiny amount of wealth. And in turn, Jesus says that he will give you true riches. So invest the little wealth that you have now in return for true riches. In verse 11, Jesus says, the wealth that you have in this life is not due to your hard work and cleverness, although we like to think that it is, don't we? But actually, it's all a gift from God. Because actually, all our cleverness is a gift from God. All of our hard work and our ability to work hard, our health, is a gift from God. So all that we have, even though it's very small, is a gift from God. And Jesus says, if you use that wealth for me in this life, then I will give you something that is your own. It's an eternal inheritance. Something that is God's, but he gives to you as an eternal inheritance of your own. So we use the worldly wealth that we have to help others. And Jesus offers us an eternal home. We use the little wealth that we have, and Jesus offers us true riches. We use God's wealth, and Jesus gives us something of our own, which is an eternal inheritance. But why the heart shape? It was very difficult to cut out last night. So why the heart shape? Because what we're talking about here goes right to our hearts, doesn't it? Right to our hearts. This is about passion. Because Jesus says in verse 13, we can't be neutral about money. We either hate or despise one of those two masters, or we love and are devoted to one of those two masters. Who are we going to love and be devoted to? See, God, serving God means investing everything you've received from God, all of his wealth, for eternity. You invest your money for eternity as it comes. Because otherwise, the money itself becomes its own little god, and we worship that god instead. So, do we love, Jesus asks, money, or do we love Jesus? So, is it money in our lives? Is that our god, or is it Jesus? Is he our God? Do we love money or Jesus? Well, this life is about Jesus, isn't it? That's what Jesus is saying. If we love the gifts that Jesus has given us, like the money, more than the giver himself, that's Jesus, then why would he allow us to keep the gifts that he's given us? If we can't be bothered with Jesus now, why would we be bothered with him in eternity? So are we living for the now, or are we living for eternity in Jesus? Money or Jesus? That's the question that Jesus puts to us.